Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, well, we got a bunch of 1780s guys that are real funny. We got some stand-up clips to play. We got some interesting COVID protocol stories all coming in a second. First, there's Tommy John. I always say push yourself. Push toward discomfort. I was in the swimming pool this morning because I was trying to squeeze a little discomfort out of my life. But not in your pants. That's where you got to get comfortable. And that's where Tommy John comes in. Start every morning in Tommy John underwear. You'll be that much more comfortable, whatever else you do. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have converts. Yes, that is so true. I'm wearing mine right now. Ask anybody. Once you get into that Tommy John, you don't get into anything else. Breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. It moves with you. Non-rolling waistbands, legs, never ride up, no wedgie guarantee. Over 96% four-star plus reviews and over 12 million pairs sold. It's the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee, right, Dawson?
Get that much more comfortable at TommyJohn.com/Adam and save 15% on your first order. Save 15% right now at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the writer and director of The Opening Act, Steve Byrne. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, much more interested in Barrett Jackson than Coney Barrett, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, light caseload, Lynch. Very nice. Got to get it on the Choice Big Round Mandate. Get it on and welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian?
Quiet.
All right. Well, we look forward to Steve Byrne today. Lots of stuff to share loaded up for the top of the show. Brian's got a new Ramblin' song he's going to share with us.
So those ones been hiding in plain sight my whole life. I've literally been listening to it since I was probably in the crib.
I will guess it. We won't do it this second, but I will guess the name of the song in under 3 seconds before you.
I mean, once it starts playing, obviously.
Yeah, once it starts playing.
It was a hit. You know the song.
Yeah, but I'm going under three.
Ooh, all right.
That's the rub. If I send the first 25 seconds, no problema. I'm going under three. Wow. All right. We found some more 1780s guy, which I'm in love with. And it was Gio. I think Gio found it. Now, again, the beauty of me is I write them and forget them most of the time. So when he said I got one on Steve O, I was like,
news to you.
And is A, news to me. And then B, I start thinking, what was my comedic angle on Steve O explaining to 1780s guy? I didn't know. I watched it and it made me laugh. So here's seven. Now, this is Adam explaining modern day life to 1780s guy Steve O. We also, there's also Indian reservations, which I did not know either. So
how many total would you guess that there are?
I'd say 25, but it could be 35 and it could be 19.
I have a vague recollection of these being used on the radio show because they work audibly.
Yeah, we probably played a few back in the day.
Yeah, we had a bumper out of it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we got it.
Yeah, Ken's going to try a different program to play it. It's a different format than what he usually gets, I guess.
Ah, okay. See, you can always get me to stop complaining if you just go, we got a formatted router.
Yeah, you got to go reformat the
frame with the motherboard.
Drive, yeah.
Yeah, the salad shooter got with the coax and
the codec wasn't working.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to zip it if I hear that. All right, how about the other one, Maxipata, perhaps? Or we can,
Yeah, I'll try the other one.
Indian reservations.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, Indian reservations.
And the Irish are free to roam wherever they please?
That's good.
That was Adam Explains Indian Reservations.
Great take.
1780s.
Wherever they please. Yeah.
That's so great because it had nothing to do with Indian reservations.
No.
It was perfect.
But it also shows, you know, we have a past in this country, yeah, and it wasn't all about the black man and the Indians. All right. Well, we'll see if we can get Steve-O going, but if we can't, we'll focus on rambling.
I'll have in 20 seconds.
Okay. Well, if you have it in 20, and we're going to have a pest control guy call in because you can't outbook Mike August. We're going to have a Dewey pest control guy. We're going to have a pest control guy call in because I want to know what the F with ants. Mm-hmm. I was in my backyard today. I looked at this sort of planter box, and it's just ants going not even vertical, like horizontally. You know, just or not even horizontal. I mean, they're walking sideways on this wall in a long line. No cake, no ham, nothing from any of the cartoons. Nothing. Yeah. They're just out. They're just doing their thing.
No comical wedge of cheese with little holes in it.
Found another bunch on a beach towel inside the house again. Like no food, no water, no nothing. Mm-hmm. All right. If we got it, MaxPad, we'll do it. If not, we'll go to the rambling song.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, Steve O.
A man who shoots fireworks from his rectum? I would like to meet this patriot.
No, you don't.
That was Adam explains Steve O to 1780s guy.
There's one more.
Oh, there's one more.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, Steve O.
There's more Steve O.
Oh.
A man staples his scrotum to his inner thigh, and people find this amusing?
That's a good twist.
That was Adam Explains Steve O to 1780s guy.
Yeah.
I'd like to meet this patriot.
This patriot. Yeah, 1780s guy had a lot of range in the topicality, you know. I'd like to meet this patriot. Well, it's good because it kind of shows how everything needs a context, you know, mm-hmm. like when you just hear little bits and pieces of information that you could see how he would perceive it that way.
Yeah,
especially when you're plucked out of the late 1700s.
Yes, that's true. All right, we got Brian's got a rambling song. I'm gonna close my eyes and yell Pete if I know what it is.
Start the clock.
Pete. Lord. Oh, no. Yeah. All right. No, don't play it. Heard it in a love song.
That's
and
the
Marshall
one.
Tucker.
Well done.
Yeah.
Great flute.
Oh, yeah.
He had that in 2 seconds.
All right. I still got it and get paid nothing for it.
If I were to settle down, you'd be the one.
Right.
But let's get something straight.
What? Great piano.
My dad, this is one of the top 10 artists my dad played most often in our household growing up. I'm sure I heard this as an infant in the womb.
Yeah, my dad was a Marshall Crenshaw guy, but I get it. Oh, yeah, great guitar. I mean, everything's great. The flute's great.
He's the kind of man who likes to get away.
He likes to start dreaming about tomorrow, today. Yeah, you know, in Brandy...
He never said he loves you.
In Brandy, Your Fine Girl, it was the same thing, which is, if I was to settle down and be with someone, it would be you, but I don't do that.
As though that's like a supreme compliment. Listen, if I was to do this, you'd be the one, but...
Right.
I don't need no woman tagging along.
Right.
So I'll sneak out the door. Couldn't stand to see you cry. I'd stay another year if I saw a teardrop in your eye.
Foreshadow.
Let's be honest about these rambling guys. Where were they going that was so important? You know what I mean?
Well, he's already established that he's been there long enough for his shoes to need resoling.
All right. So they're going to the cobbler? Look. These guys are mostly bearded alcoholics who just sort of drift from day gig to day gig, right? Where they need... I got to be at The Hague. We've got to settle a... this is of international importance. There's war crimes. Where are they going? They're going to a bus stop and try to pick up a 19-year-old. They're going to hang out by a dumpster and drink some malt liquor from a bag. They're gonna get $40 for mowing some dude's lawn. Like, what exactly? Where's this rambling? What's so important? Who needs you there?
It's not about what you run into; it's about what you run from.
Well,
it is. He was born a wrangler and a rambler.
This is a great road trip song.
I like it when they explain their dad was a rambler, too. So it's like, so you know firsthand the pain of a father walking out on his family.
Sure. No interest in breaking the cycle.
Right. Now, dad was a rambler. Well, what if dad sold aluminum siding? Would you feel compelled to sell aluminum siding?
I was born a tin man, and I guess I always will.
That is romantic.
You know, we really need the woman's side of the rambling song, which is...
Billy, don't be a hero?
Yeah, hey, small cock.
These boots are ready for walking.
Where are you going? I checked your fucking FICO score, rambling guy. You made $11,000 last year. Where exactly?
And you're underwater.
And by the way, you're riding a Honda CB175 Enduro. Like, how far you think you're going to get on that piece of shit you picked up on eBay?
Think you're better than me?
Yeah, I think you're better than me. That you gotta ramble. It was an interesting time, which is our relationship with men and women and their sexuality was fucking bizarre, and it was tilted so heavily on the male side, right?
Indeed.
Like, it's like,
of course.
I'm leaving, baby. I'm rambling on. I'll give you some loving. If I come back,
you blame Kerouac for all that.
Yeah, but you know, I got to ramble. Those other women
got to
need me to ramble off in their hair, and I'm going there. You know, I watched an episode of Love Boat.
What?
The episode of Love Boat I watched the other day was it's perfect. There's literally a 48-year-old sort of silver-haired, sort of plain looking guy, not handsome, not unattractive, not skinny, not fat, you know, just a sort of plain looking guy. And the beginning act, he gets on his boat. He's getting on the boat. And of course, he has his attorney with him. You know, all those tropes are like the attorneys, you know, it was Stanley's, you know, don't do this and don't do that. Like, your attorney follows you around and tells you what to do and what not to do. I don't
want
you to get in
trouble. Like your sobriety coach.
Right. And he's like, now listen, I know you're going to meet some woman on this trip. I know it. Now, the last time you did this, she, you know, we had to write her a check for $500,000, you know, I don't know, palimony or something was probably hot at the time, you know. So it's like, you got to promise me you're not going to meet a woman. And he's like, I'm just going on this cruise to relax. And he's like, okay, but take this paperwork. And if you're going to take a woman back to your cabin, she's got to sign this paperwork before you do. And he goes, I don't even need the paperwork. I'll take it anyway for act three, but I'm just going to get on the ship and I'm just going to relax. And it's like, okay. So like the silver haired, salt and peppery haired, sort of plain looking 50-year-old dude gets on this boat. And of course, 25-year-old beautiful women in bikini, it's like keep like coming up to him and rubbing his shoulders going, oh, are you new to this deck? And he's like, no, I gotta jog. And he like, you know, goes for a jog. And then he like goes into the weight room and he's like rowing on a rowing machine. And hot chick climbs out of the hot tub, you know, body's a 10, tight bikini, and like walks over to him and like starts rubbing his shoulders and goes like, it's so hot in here. I bet it'd be cooler in your cabin. And he's like, oh, I'm nah, and leave me alone. And then he's like going out on the deck again, and there's all these chicks, and I guess they're doing a bikini aerobics class, sure, like in front of him, you know, stretch and down and bend and thrust, and they're all like coming up to him, and he's like, I can't. And it's like, do you really think that's how women's sexuality works, and how a cruise works, and how a single dude who is basically a 7.5, and it was twice the age of everybody who came up to him, that's how it works? Just bikini clad, just hot chicks just come start rubbing his shoulders and stuff. It was such a weird, skewed version of reality.
When did women start going into the writer's room? Because this is
Too soon, if you ask me.
Well,
that's the thing. I mean, it's like guys writing porn. Like, it's the same dudes. They were watching 70s porn and wrote this.
But this is the interesting part. When you watch the credits, and believe you me, I do, half those things were written by women.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's make it 40%. But there was women writing those things all the time.
That's shocking.
Yeah. It's just because it just was. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even a male-female divide. It was like, this is how we have signed off in 1979. This is our concept of sexuality. There it is. So if you're a woman, you're going to write to it as well. Steve from Portland, who's 38, he's our pest control guy. He's going to tell me what to do with the goddamn ants. Steve?
Mr. Carolla, Gina, Brian, it's a pleasure to talk to you guys. I'm a huge fan. Been listening since the Bonaducci days. Well, Loveline, but
wow,
the show
thanks.
Since the Bonaducci.
Thanks. And all our pleas not to go into the pest control business fell on deaf ears.
So, man, I was kind of, it's funny, I had a great magnet kind of moment. My wife Sunday just randomly was scrolling through Twitter, and she's like, you should call the Carolla Show. And I'm like, why? I have, you know, similar growing up to you, and it was like, why the hell would anybody ever want to talk to me? And I got in the car on Monday and went, oh, well, since you guys are spending 20 minutes on pest control, maybe you do.
Steve, some people are old souls. You're old lungs.
Thank you.
You got to start wearing
a compliment.
You got to start wearing a respirator.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe all the chemical fumes, crawl space dust, insulation.
All right. So what do we need to know about ants? That I can find. To me, they're basically Al Qaeda. I have no idea. There's no theme. They don't want any ransom money. They're just into destruction.
Well, so I guess the first question would be is what kind of ants do you have?
All Jesus I know Christ. is black and medium sized.
So that's the answer I totally expected. And since you don't know, your pest control company sucks.
Oh, really? They should be telling me, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's nearly 1,000 varieties of ants in North America. We have different ants up here than you have down there, but I looked it up. Your most common ants are Argentinian ants, odorous house ants, thief ants, feral ants, fire ants, and a couple of varieties of carpenter ants.
What's the best way to get rid of them?
Well, so what you need to do is you need to contact a pest control company, preferably not one of the Taco Bell pest control companies, and what I would expect out of them is them to come out and do a thorough home inspection, kind of like if you were buying a house, and diagnose any problems and identify the ants, because all ants have different food sources, different breeding patterns.
Well, what's a general thing that works on most ants?
Well, so I'm going to assume, just based on what you were talking about, that you're having a problem with odorous house ants. It's what most people call piss ants or sugar ants.
Yeah.
Those ants are migratory. They can have up to 10,000 individuals in their colony.
It's all good. Been trying for a while just to get a couple of tips on ants.
Right.
Max, this is what happens when you try.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Chalk,
just trying to get a couple
little
tips for the ants, and then we'll get on with it. Not looking to get into the pest control industry full time. Just like a you know, I'll dabble, of course. I'll dabble.
Sure. Do a little off under
right,
the table
Steve,
work.
10 seconds. What do's and don'ts with ants?
Hire a new pest control company.
All right. Okay. All right. We try. See, what happens is we talk about ants and how to get rid of ants and what motivates ants, and then Chris goes, well, what if we get a guy on who's an expert in ants, and we go, oh, that'll be fun and informative, but we don't find out anything other than I should hire a new pest control company.
This is like my biggest problem in my job interview is I work too hard. He knows too much about rodents,
yes,
and ants and
but,
pests.
But thanks anyway, Steve. I just don't feel any further down the ant highway here.
Not that this is going to help, but have you heard that if you put chalk on, like a line of chalk, they can't or won't cross it for some reason?
Yeah.
Like a baseball pitcher?
I've heard that a lot. But the problem with...
It's like a fun magic trick.
It sounds good, but how do you practically apply it to ants inside your house? All right, let's see. We got slippery slope guy. Ooh. So says Max Zapata.
Yeah. So also, when you had your late night show, in addition to 1780s guy, you also did a bit called slippery slope guy, and I figured you complain about the media these days, and I think he would fit right in.
Yeah, and somebody called in talking about it last week. Maybe it was me and Dr. Drew, but anyway, here's slippery slope guy.
And now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy on sex education.
Is educating our children about sex important? Yes. But it's a slippery slope. First, you're teaching kids about the reproductive system. Then a transsexual is opening your child's mind to an alternative lifestyle. And the next thing you know, a gym coach and six shop teachers are pulling a train on your seventh grade daughter, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
As I recall, they all ended in there's not a damn thing you can
that
do.
Was slippery
That's right.
Slope guy. All right. Well, that made me laugh. If you find any more of those, I'll listen. You have another one?
Oh. Yeah, we have three of them.
Oh, okay.
And now an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy on conservation.
Is conservation a good idea? Sure. But it's a slippery slope. First, you're asked to join the van pool. Then the next thing you know, jackbooted government thugs are forcing you to commute to work on a plankton-powered moped, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Plankton-powered moped. All right, I got one more.
And now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy on flag burning.
Do I believe in the First Amendment? You bet. But it's a slippery slope. You let a guy burn the symbol of America, and the next thing you know, he's burning the Bank of America. And then he's burning the Mall of America, and then he's burning Miss America, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it!
Sounds pretty bad.
Slippery slump guy. All right. Probably a lot of those probably make sense in today's world. All right, let's see. Got Gang's Opinion. I'll just hit line two with Mark because it starts with once Gang's Opinion. Fresno, Mark, 34.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hi, guy.
Hey.
What's going on?
I wanted to get your guys' opinion on something. Mm-hmm. I work at a body shop. I'm a car painter. And a gal came by a couple weeks ago for an estimate and ended up giving me her phone number and just bailing on the estimate. So I went out on a date with her, and like you said, I'm 34, and about halfway into the date, it dawned on me I had no idea how old she was. And so when I asked her, she said she just turned 21. And I don't know, it kind of threw me for a loop, because she didn't seem like she was 21, but apparently she is.
That means she's 16.
So, does she have a college?
Don't say that.
Does she have a college degree?
Not as far as I know, because she's like a service advisor assistant at a dealership here in Fresno. So that doesn't ring college degree to me.
Oh, she was bringing the car in for the dealership?
No, well, it was her personal vehicle. She just came by here for an estimate.
I'm just worried she's going to go like, hey, why don't... Uh-oh. Can you hear me, Mark?
I didn't catch that last part. I'm sorry.
I'm scared that she got an estimate for $1,900, and now she's like, "Hey, you want to go on a picnic Sunday?" And you're like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Go ahead and bring your Bondo and your sanding block and primer." See what
I
I'm saying?
I was just attractive 21-year-old, but you just opened a whole new window for me.
Yeah, she could be using you for your Bondo, your plastic filler, your blocks, and your primer. Yeah. But, Mark, you're 34. She's 21. Go ahead. That was just
consensual.
By the way, that was a humble brag call. Like, I want to get your guys' opinion. Okay.
How big a penis is too big?
Right.
I'm not going to say that this is BS, but I'm going to say it has Love Boat qualities.
Yeah. Well,
this hot 21-year-old comes in for an estimate. She says, "I don't care about the estimate. Just take my number."
Right. All right. Let's see. We have a guy. Let's see. Pregnant wife. Oh, it's Brett the electrician, 32, from San Diego. Hi, Brett the electrician.
Hi, guy. Ace Man, I just found out my wife, she's pregnant. Found out this weekend and wanted to get your take, not necessarily on how to be a father, but more interested in, what's the pregnancy going to be like? Is there going to be a lot of bitching going on her end towards me?
I have sage advice. All right.
Oh, growing a human.
First, before we get into any of that, you got to find the dude who knocked her up and beat his ass. Okay, that's number one before we even get into the pregnancy and the child rearing and all that.
Far down on the list.
Right. All right. Here's what I would say. No one would listen. I'm sure Brett's not going to listen. I wouldn't listen to me either. But here's what I will say. From the time she discovers she's pregnant to the time you go home with the youngin, it seems like a long period of time, because of everything is so focused. The baby's growing and the different stages and trimesters and classes and all that kind of stuff. It will pass in a blink of the eye. But you, my friend, shall be judged by those 8.5 months for the rest of your waking days. Oh, yeah. I don't care if you get divorced. I don't care if you move to an island. You shall be judged. It will be brought up constantly. And it will be a cudgel that will be used to beat you about the head and neck for the rest of your goddamn life.
Enjoy your ball of joy.
So, be the world's best fucking husband for that period of time. Now, you can become a womanizing alcoholic the second you guys get back from the hospital. Because at some point, she's going to be out, the kids are going to be four. She's going to be out having brunch. One of the other yentas is going to go like, "Oh, I was pregnant with triplets, and my husband went on a golf vacation." And they're all going to go, "Ew." And your wife will be the one who goes, "Oh, Brett rubbed my feet when I told him my ankles were swollen." And it's going to make those chicks hate your wife. But you will be a fucking hero. You shall be judged. You'll be judged by this window, this less than a year window, for the rest of your relationship and beyond.
It's good advice.
Okay.
You get a lot to take in.
My life isn't that satisfying.
Yeah, I think mine is blown.
Okay. Well, listen, I mean it. No one's going to do it, but I mean it. Yes.
Can I ask Gina a related question? Because, how would you properly phrase this? Because childbirth goes a lot easier if you're in good shape. So, a good piece of advice is like, hey, in that first trimester, start doing some fucking sit-ups because, you're going to want to be strong because that makes everything easier. But you can't say, make sure you get your wife in shape. You know what I mean? Like, how is a gentle way to relay that advice? How would you want to have that advice relayed to you?
I'm relaying it to you right now.
See your eyes?
I'm just trying to make your life easier, not you.
You know what you need
ones.
To do? You need to slip the doctor a 20, because if that shit comes out of your mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Go pound sand.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just trying to make your life easier.
By the way.
You know, not having allergens in the air also helps. So you want to vacuum a little bit while you're at it?
Gina's eyes looked like Kirstie Alley on the toilet.
That
those were her eyes. That That, yeah. That,
yeah, I thought she was using an evil filter.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let me tell you about Solo Stove, whether you're camping in the woods or hanging out in the backyard. Nothing like a roaring fire. Yeah. And now, finally, the weather is great for the Solo Stove. And there's nothing better than warming your hands over those hot cockles. Solo Stove. Fire pits and stoves engineered for adventure. Stainless steel construction designed to regulate airflow, burn more efficiently. So little smoke, you'll wonder how there's so much fire. I love mine. I put it in the backyard. I fire that bad boy up, and it's just beautiful, especially when there's a little chill in the air. No campfire. Little nip
in the air.
No campfire smell on clothes or in the hair either. Nothing left but ultra fine ash for easy cleanup, easy and portable to move around as well. It's Solo Stove, right, Dawson?
No one needs a reason to gather around the fire. Solo Stove just took away any reason not to. And now you can get $10 off when you use promo code Adam at checkout. Just go to solostove.com and remember to get $10 off when you use promo code Adam.
All right, we got a call from the submarine guy. We spoke to him before. I got a unprepared rant on Gavin Newsom that people seem to enjoy. And we'll do all that right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Corolla, was there ever a greater 1970s sitcom trope? And anchovies on the pizza. What was the deal with that? Has anyone ever had anchovies on pizza? Is it a real thing? Later. Love the shows.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
It used to be a thing. And it's also more interesting in a sitcom where you go, one pepperoni, one anchovy. I think it's the anchovy. I think they liked the way that sounded.
It's with the tenor of the ordering.
And so if you have the guy doing the fake Italian accent in the sitcom and it's a plain cheese, it's not anchovy. So I think they liked saying anchovy. And then once something got in the zeitgeist, everyone just stole from everybody else. Gina's mic.
And how, sorry, I muted myself because there was some construction. How else would Patrick Dempsey know you wanted to have sex with him in Loverboy if you didn't order extra anchovies on your pizza?
That's right. The great Dempsey.
Did we agree on just certain things were just bad, like anchovies and beets? Like, I've not had a lot of liver, so I can't say because liver. Liverwurst was like the go-to joke. Like, what's for dinner? Liver. But like, anchovies are fine. They're salty. They add a little salty, whatever, brininess to your pizza or whatever you have it on.
Well, let's throw it out this way. Let's say you went on a first date and you sat down with your lady or your man. And we're getting just a regular pizza. I don't want to start getting into deep dish and Chicago and all. Just they're getting a regular pizza. They're ordering toppings. Don't start factoring in bad breath. Don't go any of those places we normally go. Let's just stay right on. What would you like that person or what would suggest something about them that was good? What would suggest something about them that was bad or indifferent? You know what I mean? Like, if they said, I like plain cheese pizza, I'd think, okay, but I don't know. There's something not that interesting about that. Like,
that's what a five-year-old wants.
You're at a good place. You have good toppings. And they want a plain one. So I have some thoughts. With that in mind, what do you guys think?
If my date ordered sausage, but not sliced sausage, the crumbled sausage, I'd be like, yes, this is a person who knows what's better and what's good and what's better.
Keeper.
Well, and
all right.
Even if there's stuff that they order that I am not down with, like if they want, anchovies and, cloves of garlic or whatever, I would think that was sexy because they know what they want.
That sounds great.
And but it's not for me, but they know what they want. They're confident about it and they're worldly because if they've had that, then they've had pepperoni and they've had sausage, but they've decided that the best one is anchovies and garlic. So that's kind of hot.
If they're going to eat the grossest pizza, they're certainly willing to go down on you later.
That's right. That's right.
Turn on the eyes.
Oh, Kirstie's on the squatter. Yeah, I was thinking anchovy. Anchovy seems interesting. It seems like they have a little worldly whatever in them. Yeah. They're not some, you know, dits from Reseda. Yeah. Yeah, I like anchovy. All right, we have an unprepared from is it Salt Lake?
Yeah, this is from Salt Lake City.
This is me on Gavin Newsom. Here we go.
Loveline? Gavin. Gavin. Oh, Gavin Newsom. Yeah, it gets me angry. Gavin, that's the best interview ever, right? Yeah, Gavin Newsom. So I got a theory, because Gavin Newsom, so California is like the only thing that is, the only thing in California that's not on fire are the homeless. It's like, it's just homeless people in fire. That's all there is. Everyone is moving to Nashville. They're moving to Texas. They're moving. Everyone's moving out of town. And his thing is like, okay, let me see. By 2035, no more internal combustion engines can be sold in the state of California. And you're like, okay, Gavin, the building's on fire. There's a pyramid of homeless people out front. Joe Rogan just went to Nashville. What are we doing? What are we doing here? Okay, all right. Let's see. Okay, I got something that's going to fix this. No business with more than 18 employees shall have a boardroom that does not have a bicurious llama in it, a bicurious llama of color. We're going to need an owl that's transitioning. The fucking state is on fire and we're broke, okay? See what I got here. I'd like to reduce our carbon footprint. The fucking place is on fire. Our footprint is the size of Sasquatch wearing a waffle stomper. Okay, did I talk about that bicurious owl yet? Well, I'm fresh out of ideas. You know what I realized? He picks fucking weird, inane shit because it's the kind of stuff you would focus on if you were out of problems, right? Like if you didn't have schools that were failing and taxes that were too high and you can't make payroll and everyone's out of money and there's no more unemployment checks coming in and everything is on fire and homeless and fucked up, if you will all somehow be distracted by that if you worked on the little shit that makes no difference. So here's a good example. I'll give you an example. If you, like, met a couple and you said to the guy, like, you're at a restaurant, you know, and you said to the guy, what are you up to? You like to work around the house? And he's like, I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. I'm down in the garage. I'm doing all stainless steel cabinetry. All stainless steel cabinetry. I'm going full Euro-style hinge. I'm going to full extension Accurite slide ball bearing things in there. I got everything labeled. I got them all laid out. Everything's alphabetical. You would think, oh, I bet that guy's fucking master bedroom looks pretty damn good, right? You wouldn't picture raccoons fucking on his bed with a homeless guy taking a shit next to it, would you? That's what Gavin Newsom does to us. Gavin Newsom picks bizarre, inane things that don't make a difference to anyone living in his state and focuses on them as if we've now conquered every problem. Be like you going, well, I'd like to, my son speaks Mandarin, but he doesn't speak Cantonese. And then you go, isn't your son a junkie? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's shooting up right now in the hall closet.
There you go, Gavin Newsom in Salt Lake City.
And speaking of Gavin Newsom, did you hear the latest on the parks opening, the amusement parks?
Oh, no,
I did
not.
Just in the last hour?
No.
So, you know, they thought long and hard about it, and it was going to be breaking news. We should arrive at some sort of new conclusion in the next hour. We did, and it's that big parks like Universal and Disneyland can still not open until we're in the yellow tier, which is the lowest tier.
Jesus.
And all not open, open at 25% capacity.
You know, here's kind of the problem with the setting up of the sort of fairly arbitrary tier system. You never satisfy the tier system until you're in the lowest possible risk. And the lowest possible risk is like, we go 29 days without losing a soul. Like, so you make the lowest risk unobtainable. And then you go, and then when Disney goes, can we reopen? You go, well, look at the chart.
Yeah, you tell me.
The chart you shat out 20 minutes ago randomly, that chart? Like, yeah. I'm now really realizing I think it's all just, we have to wait for the election. I think we're just kind of at that point, but which is sad, but we do have amusement parks open all over the country and the world. Why is that not an indicator? And whenever I get up in the morning and I turn on CNN and I see the map and they have all the color codings on the map, California, we've been beige for 6 weeks now. Like, if you look at the CNN map in the morning, our state is doing better than almost every other state. Mm-hmm. And if you were just to look at that map, if you looked at the map of, I don't know, new coronavirus cases or something, if you looked at the map and you said, guess which state isn't open? Guess which state has an amusement park and remains shuttered? You'd go, well, not California. Mm-hmm. California's, they look good compared to all the other colors on that map. You'd have no idea. And again, what is the, it's a scary thing when the answer is no, and we don't have to give you an explanation other than you're not meeting our criteria. But right. We don't really need to tell you what the criteria is, or it's not really achievable.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're the only Disney park not open in the world, right? Because the one that Shanghai's open, Walt Disney World's open.
Yeah, it sounds, yeah, they're open in Florida and Texas, I guess. I don't know what it's weird. So whenever I say this to Mike August goes, because Gavin's got his eye on the presidency. And I'm like, butt fucking California is a rocket ship ride to the White House? It's like, hey, he wants to be in the national news. You know, he wants to be that guy. You know, and I'm like, why? What's attractive about that? And it's like, well, he's in the news. He's large and in charge. You know, he's not opening. He's in control. He's playing it safe. He's looking out. And it's like, at a certain point, how does the math work in tax revenues, and how does – yes, go ahead, Jen.
Well, no, to that point, too, specifically about Gavin, I reported a story last night where, you know, he's talking about the availability of a vaccine. And don't get excited if you hear that a vaccine has been approved, because it won't be mass available until next year. And it goes to, of course, the most vulnerable first, and that includes prisoners.
And everyone at Knott's Berry Farm first. Yeah, goes to Spillikin Corners, and then
Lego
yeah.
Land.
Oh, yeah, the prisoners are getting, yeah,
chicken,
well.
The chicken diner, whatever it is.
We owe them our gratitude. Yeah, oh, God. I don't even want to, there's the map, yeah.
We're beige.
We're looking at the map. We're good in beige. There's only seven or eight, first off, in terms of major beige states, there's three or four. But us, I mean, California is the biggest and the beigest, baby. Why don't we get to, why can't I go inside a restaurant? We're beige. We've been beige. What is that? And other than you'll know who's in control, I don't know what it is, but can we get some advocates for our side, eat inside the restaurant, civil liberties, open Disneyland side? Can we get some people in that meeting? Or is it just five people who don't want to reopen who are going to take a vote every Monday morning? Shall we reopen? No, 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 you, no. Okay. Keep it closed.
Till next time.
Can we get a couple like business? Yeah.
It's like a bunch of fat guys avoiding on whether or not to go to the gym.
Right. Can we get a couple?
We good? We good here?
Yeah, get a couple of business guys in there, who a couple of restaurant owners or something like that. It's also, the protocols are so common and so ubiquitous now, and also so known. I mean, so much better known now than in March, that why wouldn't you? I mean, we know what to do. We diminish the capacity. We do the distancing. Everyone has a mask. I wipe down the Matterhorn. Like, and all the other, and I think the schools have been reopening around the country, and there's been some outbreaks, but not much. I mean, the kids have been good.
Did you hear what Barbara Ferrer said about Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Sounds like a joke.
you have to stay home with your single family, and this year only tofurkey. Sorry, no meat is murder.
Turkey is a super spreader.
That's right.
You're only allowed to get together, and I don't know how they would find this out, but you're only allowed to get together with two other families from different households, and if you do, you have to eat outside.
Or,
how is that enforced? I don't know.
Or you can fuck off, bitch, and we'll do whatever the fuck we want. I don't know what's taking everyone so long. I mean, everyone was always yelling at me when I was telling everyone, just fucking go do what you want. Just do it. You want Gavin Newsom and that fucking nutty scarecrow in charge of your life. Fuck it. It's your life. Enjoy yourself. I'm not fucking dancing to the tune of the retarded piper. Fuck that. It's weird. It's the saddest part. It's not them. It's everyone genuflecking in front of those people. They're fucking on the rules. The rules are, fuck it. Just go fucking live your life. See what happens. Roll the dice. Take a Southwest flight. Eat indoors. Have another family and go in your dining room with them. Woo! Go crazy. Play some lawn darts. Enjoy. Jesus H. Christ. All right. Let's see. We got line four over here. Matt, who's the submarine guy. Matt, 36, Illinois.
Yeah. I tell you, that whole thing is that's a tough act to follow. I'm just here to talk about a sea story.
Well, hold on.
Have you done eating competition? Yes, sir.
You're in Illinois. Are you guys allowed to eat inside restaurants?
There are places. It kind of depends on where you're at. But, yeah, there is indoor dining in some places. I don't think Cook County a whole lot, but, yeah, it does happen.
I was out in Beverly Hills last week with my daughter and walking down the sidewalk, and of course, everyone's just sitting on the sidewalk eating, but I'm telling you, those tables are getting closer and closer together. Yeah. They started off far apart.
There's outdoor seating all over the place here, and yeah, they're definitely getting closer. The social distancing part of it, people are getting a little bit more lax with it. It's becoming a lot more relaxed here, for sure.
So 6 feet's become 4.5 feet.
That's right. They're doing to social distancing what they did to my plywood. Matt?
2x4s.
That's right, 2x4s. Question? Comment?
But I wanted to kind of ask you guys, if you guys have ever been, this is perfectly in time, we were talking about the hot dog eating competition. Have you ever, guys ever been in a eating competition, like a, you know what I mean, like a pie eating contest or whatever?
Hmm. Well,
what you got?
One and one only, but what do you got?
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, I was in a Vienna sausage eating contest on the submarine when we were doing our Mediterranean cruise. It was some deployment. And
is it in Vienna?
Yeah.
You anybody could enter, and first place got a 3-day pass in Italy. Like, you just, you wouldn't have to check in. You're gone. Boom. And then as long as you promise to come back.
Is that
third
where my
place? Yeah.
Is that where my tax dollars are going? You guys binge eating Vienna cocktail weenies in a sub, by the way. Worst place ever to have a fucking eating competition because someone's yakking.
No fresh air, no window to open.
Well, don't get too far ahead of me.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
All right. First place got 3-day pass. Third place through whoever else got nothing. So there was no. Second place had to drink all of the juice, all the hot dog juice. that was like produced that.
Why
during
would you punish the second place
the competition.
Oh yeah.
A buddy of mine and me got third and fourth. We both put up our hands and we're like, nope, we're done. Done. We're not doing it. So then the other two assholes had to figure it out.
How long is your submarine the submarine you were on?
The LA class is 365 feet across and across long, and then 33 feet at the beam. Like, wow. That's how far across it is.
Hell, that's bigger than Hitler's yacht.
Yes, take that.
I was listening because when you said, "Oh, that sounds like a warship," I'm like, "Yeah, that's about as long as a submarine." That's a hell of a piece of equipment.
Yes, yeah, so you guys can make your own oxygen, stay under as long as you want, right. Go under the polar caps. I mean, there's nothing you can't do. There's enough.
Yeah, anywhere.
You got enough firepower on that one submarine to destroy the world. Is that correct?
On some of them. There's two different flavors of some. Well, there's more now, but there's your fast attack submarines that were the Los Angeles class, you know, the Hunt for Red October, all those. Those all have conventional missiles. Those are just, you know, Tomahawk missiles. The bigger ones, the Ohio class, those are 500, 600 something feet long, and they have all of the nuclear missiles, the Trident missiles and all that. So that those are the guys that could blow up the world. What was that? Red Dawn with Gene Hackman? Was that movie?
Yeah, yeah. What could you what could you cruise at underwater? Is that classified?
That is classified. I'm sorry to tell you. Wikipedia gives you like 20 something knots plus, something like that.
So you could pull that thing up with the nukes in it anywhere you want, destroy the world.
Stop giving my ideas. Pull up,
you know what I mean? Like, you can launch them from periscope depth. Like,
right.
But yeah, you could just, you know, come up to a couple of, you know, how many ever 100 feet, and then let them loose, and then it's all over.
What's periscope depth?
I don't know if I can tell you that.
Wow. Well, why don't you tell us? You can probably guess.
You know, I mean, how long could periscopes be?
I don't think that long, but I'd probably be surprised. What's mid
20 meters?
How long could?
Yeah, that seems about right. Hey, Matt, thanks for your service, buddy. And
thank you.
Thanks for the submarine. You know, old timey submarine crew, not for me. New timey, not too shabby. Hot dog eating competitions, whatnot.
3-day pass in Italy. Before we jump off the hot dog or the eating contest, can I show you a quick picture with a story?
Mm-hmm.
Please.
This is so the picture that's being put up right now is one of my best friends. Her name is Lindsay. She's a teeny tiny little pixie school teacher. She happens to be the daughter of Andy Parker from UFO.
Wow.
And she's one of my oldest and best friends. Would you agree that she's tiny?
She literally has a pencil skirt.
Yes, she has pencils. She's an adorable, crafty little art teacher. She is just the cutest little tiniest thing. She has won multiple eating contests. My favorite is 75 chicken McNuggets against a bunch of frat boys at a McDonald's. It is amazing the food that this one can put down. Like, she's all about surf and turf. She's not a purger. She's got the metabolism, and she wins many eating contests.
Wow, she's 110 pounds. Yeah,
hail Lindsay.
It's not the size. So Matt was in the Porcelain Punisher was in Palm Springs last weekend, and they had some protocols by the pool.
Yeah, I think you'd get a kick out of this.
Was it 111 degrees by the pool?
It was about that. Yeah, it was just over 100. It wasn't too terrible. But what was terrible were the insane rules for the pool area. So to begin with, every room was entitled to a 2-hour time slot in the pool area only.
Really?
So
they rotated
it. They rotated it. And what ended up happening in the case of my family's scenario is my parents had a room, my wife and I had a room. So we technically had two time slots we could use.
You got the 3 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Well,
slot.
You know it. So we had to go from 10:30 to 12:30. Everybody has to leave the pool area. And then at 1 o'clock, go right back to where we were. And in the meantime, right, they're like wiping down all of the stations and clearing every single person out.
Do they still, do they have any instances of people spreading this outdoors when they're socially distanced?
I mean, in the hot desert sun.
In the pool. Yeah. Is there any problemos at the beach or on the bike path? Like I've not even, if you talk to experts, they just go, it's not really spreadable outside in the heat if people are kind of spread out. That's the least your worries. That's why when you go through Beverly Hills, everyone is out on the sidewalk 3.5 feet apart eating because somebody's deemed that safe.
Ugh. Well, speaking of eating, this was the other part that was absolutely insane. So here in California, all the bars have pretty much closed down because unless you can serve food, you're not allowed to be open. But at the pool bar at the hotel where everyone is, it's 25% capacity, everyone's spread out, you had to order an entree with any pool drink that you wanted.
That's like can do.
Well, sure. You think so, my friend. But it was literally entree, so I would not be able to get chips and salsa, but I could get nachos.
All right. You couldn't get chips, salsa, and a beer.
Right.
And you certainly just couldn't get a beer without the chips and the salsa.
I tried every day that we were there to just order two Mai Tais, and every single time they were like, nope, you need to have food with it. And I'm like, it's 10:30 in the morning. I just want to drink alcohol.
And well, you're alone, drop. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other.
Yeah, the pool was empty.
All right,
and
everyone.
The hot tubs were closed, too. What?
All of the chicken paillard and 11 Mai Tais.
Have fun with all your rules, everybody. Tell me how it goes. Tell me if they ever peel any back. Tell me if they ever make any sense. And then you tell me how much power do you want the government to have? What do you want from the government? What are you asking them to do? My assumption is they're like beavers on the roof of the Empire State Building. They're going to start looking for wood to build a dam. That's what beavers do. Fucking legislators and lawmakers, that's what they do. They just make rules. They don't get rid of rules. They don't examine old rules and see if they're effective. They just make more rules. And there's something attractive about that to somebody, to a large group of people. I don't know what's attractive about that. You want to be led by dumb people. Okay. Doesn't sound like a great plan to me. I'm not fucking down with these retards. I don't get it. It's very self-evident now. They want power. They want rules. They're not really interested in whatever your best interest is. And it's now become a quality of life situation. There are rules, meaning Matt and his wife and his family, they fucked up his vacation with their rules. They fucked up his quality of life with fucking inane rules. All right. We have Slippery Slope guy.
No, I was just telling you after your
rules.
Rant.
I should yell. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it. All right. Let's see. Oh, Steve's coming in studio.
He's here.
Oh, he's here. We love Steve. All right. Let me hit Geico. You know what is scary? Not saving a ton on your auto insurance. You got to get down with the Geico people. Go to geico.com, spend a couple of minutes and see just how much you could be saving. 15% or more on your car insurance. Stop waking up in a cold sweat and thinking about it. Go to geico.com. Find out just how much you could be saving in your car and your RV and boat insurance at geico.com. Well, stand-up comedian and writer and director and friend Steve Byrne will be in right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.